Well, hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're going to be looking in Acts chapter 27. We'll be spending a while here. If you can have your Bible ready, you'll get more out of this study. Today we're going to begin a study in this Acts chapter 27. As I said, if you have your Bible ready, you'll get more from it. We're just going to go down through, do a little survey of the chapter, and then we're going to go back and have a look at it in more in depth. But as we begin this chapter, it says the first word you have here is the word "and," which connects it obviously to the verse before. And the verse before says, "Then said Agrippa and unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Well, he did appeal unto Caesar, and he had been a prisoner for a couple of years before he actually gets to go unto Caesar. And he had made some real inroads with Agrippa and Festus during that two-year period. They had a lot of respect for Paul the Apostle. We'll see that as we go down through this chapter. In any event, it says, "When it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band." Well, it says here, "And when it was determined," so somebody had made some decisions here about this trip, and this is not some little boat with a few people in it. We read in verse 37 that there were actually 276 people that were traveling, and when they get into the middle of this storm that we have here in Acts chapter 28. Well, it says it was determined that we should sail. Now, we have the word "we" here. Interesting. Who's writing this book? Well, if you get to the first verse of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, you'll find that it was Luke who was writing this book. And he was an interesting man, and he wrote the book of Luke. There's 24 chapters there, and all of that, he never mentioned his own name. And then he wrote the book of Acts in 28 chapters. He never mentions his name here either. He was a very humble person, and he is a physician. He's a physician, and it's obvious as you go down through this chapter that physically Paul is not well at this time. And here we have this man Luke, who on his own accord is traveling with him, and somehow got permission to do that, because that wasn't a normal thing to happen. But here's Luke, and he's on this ship, and it says that it was determined that we should sail unto Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Now, Julius is only mentioned twice in the Bible, and both times it's in this chapter, and we read in verse 3, "The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." So Paul has got a good relationship here with Julius. Now, Julius is a captain. He's over 100 men. He's a centurion of Augustus' band. And Augustus' band was a very special group of people. First of all, they were responsible for delivering food to the troops in an army, and that's exactly what was going on here. We'll find out later on as we get down through this chapter. They're throwing all the wheat overboard. They were also responsible for taking care of political prisoners, and that, of course, is what is happening here in this chapter as well. Well, he's a friend. He befriends Paul. It's very interesting that this all happens within 70 miles. I don't think that they could become that friend. I mean, you figure out that here's a prisoner. There's a bunch of them on this boat. And why is he befriending Paul? Well, probably because Festus, back here in the last chapter, really knew that Paul was innocent. And that's why it says in verse number 32, he might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And I think probably Festus told Julius, said, look, this man is innocent and you ought to treat him with some respect. In any event, you can see the hand of God in this, as Paul is showing some favor here on the ship. And the whole chapter, we're going to look as we go through this chapter, you're going to see that the hand of God is in the whole thing. Well, it says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship at Adramyttium, that says that we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now, isn't that interesting that we would mention this man? He's only mentioned about five times in the whole New Testament, and every one of those times he is mentioned as a friend of Paul. He is one of his close friends. So now we have this trip, and we have Luke, and we have Aristarchus, who are with Paul on this trip. They are friends of his. He's got two really good friends here. Now, you know, friends are hard to come by. Real friends like this. A friend is not just someone who's, you know, a friend, but a friend is someone who will sacrifice time, sacrifice whatever for a real friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, he's got a couple of those friends with him here, and I think that every man of God who will stand like Paul the Apostle, he's not going to have a lot of friends, but the friends that he does have, they're going to stick with him. And that's what we have here in these two men. Well, it says in the third verse, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now here, this word refresh is a medical term, and this is where we get the thought that perhaps maybe Paul was not very well medically, physically at this time, and so he is given liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Friends is a term that is also used within a local church context quite a bit in the New Testament, and Paul had traveled through this area before, and no doubt it was responsible for getting a church going in this area. Well, we see here that Julius, it let him, gave him liberty. Now, you understand that if they lost a prisoner, the Roman rule was you take the sentence of the prisoner if you lose one. So for him to trust Paul in this, you can see the hand of God in it. Well, it says in verse number 4, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. Now, the winds were contrary. And then in verse 4 it says, and when we had sailed. Now, look, as we go through this chapter, we're going to see there's a lot of wind. There's a mighty storm going to be brewing here in the next little while. And as we sailed, and we are all on a trip. We are all sailing through life. And we're going to find, as we sail through life, that you're going to face some storms. And if you're going to stand like Paul the Apostle was standing, and like Luke was standing, and like Aristarchus, who would dare to be a friend of someone like Paul, you're going to find out that you're going to find yourself in storms of life as you go along. We read back there in the early part of the Gospels where the Bible says that Jesus was in this ship, and they were going across the other side, and the Bible says that little ships were coming along with them, and then there was a mighty storm, you remember, and the Lord was sleeping on a pillow in the back of the boat that they were in, and there was a storm so bad it was filling the boat with water, and of course they woke Jesus, and you know the story there. Well, I thought about those other little ships. One thing for sure, if you're going to travel with Jesus, you're going to get in some storms. It's just that simple. Well, they did here, verse 4, as we launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And of course, what they're doing here, normally they just go right across the Mediterranean, but no, the winds were contrary. And so they were sticking close to the shore. And it says, and when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Now they're getting a bigger ship. They're getting something that could stand and go across in the middle of the Mediterranean instead of following around the coastline. Well, it says, and when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. Now, the wind, God's in charge of the wind. Now, this is not just happening by accident, this whole trip. And it says in verse number 8, and it hardly, and hardly passing it, we came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the sea of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the lading, you're going to lose your wheat here, fellows, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, the centurion had become a friend of Paul's. That's obvious, but he didn't believe him. He's not a believer. And so he checks with the master, the captain, and he checks with the owner of the ship. And he said, all right, I believe you guys, let's get on with this trip. Should have listened to Paul. Well, it says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. So the majority rules, here we go. Well, they're going to be wishing they had stayed there at Fair Havens. If by any means they might attain unto Phoenix and to winter there, which is in an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. Well, it says in verse number 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Oh, the south wind blew softly. Well, that's a sign that sailing's going to be great. There's not going to be a problem here. Who's in charge of the wind? God's in charge of the wind. The storms, he's in charge of those winds. Keep that in mind. Well, the south wind blew softly. Why? God wanted them out there in the middle of that Mediterranean Sea facing this storm. He's got some lessons to teach somebody. And Paul the Apostle is not looking forward to this. He's saying, I don't want to get out there in another storm. Let's just stay here at Fair Havens. No, they're not going to listen to him. No, Paul, God wants you out there in a storm. You're going to story here. You're going to record it in Acts 27. And we're going to learn a lot of lessons because you went through a storm. And if we will handle the storms correctly, someone else can learn a lot of good lessons if we will handle the storms correctly. Well, that's what it's all about. Well, it says not long after they left. Oh, they had the south wind blowing softly. What happened? A tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Well, this is a special storm. This is coming from every direction at the same time. There's no way that these sailors who know how to sail a ship can handle this kind of a storm. Well, we read in verse number 16, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. Now we have a ship here, we have a boat here. What are we talking about? Well, you've seen these pictures with those ancient ships drifting along there, and they got a rope out and dragging a boat behind them, a lifeboat. Well, things are pretty rough here, and so they said, we better get that lifeboat up onto the ship. And that's what's going on here, and they finally, by much work, it says, they got it up there. And we read that when they had taken up the boat into the ship, they undergirded the ship. They did that with these big cables to keep this ship from falling apart because they are facing a vicious storm. Well, we're out of time. You can tell that by the music in the background. Once that starts, I got to go. We're out of time. Be sure and tune in again for our next broadcast. We'll continue on from here.